Hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. Please hit pause and go stream the new single from Wilkes-Barre's very own Choice to Make, No Coming Back. Pre-orders for their new 12-inch Nature of Morality is available now. So go pre-order the record. The pairing of Choice to Make and From Within Records makes me so happy. I'm a big fan of both. For everyone who's been listening to the podcast or who knows me, you guys all know that I ride so hard for Pennsylvania, especially Wilkes-Barre, especially Nate Prosciutti. He's the main reason for a lot of things going on over here at the Jamie RK camp. You know, we're always repping the Choice to Make tote, which I am so proud to rep that for every podcast, and the new Good Fortune tee that Nate was nice enough to custom print for me. So I'm such a huge fan. Shout out to From Within Records, amazing label, still my favorite label doing it today. So please, like I said, go stream the new single, No Coming Back, and then come back to the podcast because it's amazing. I love Choice to Make, and I'm so happy and very much looking forward to the new record. Also, January FYA 10, another fest that I love to go to. Shout out Bob Wilson and company doing amazing things. This has been up here for so long. You got to think it's going to be FYA 10, and I'm repping FYA 7. That was my first one. Amazing lineup. But shout out to the From Within Records bands that are going to be there. Envision, Dimension 6, and Warn. So I'm so pumped to get back to Florida to experience that fest, to see Dimension 6 for the first time, to hear the new Warn tracks for the first time. They have a new record coming out at the beginning of September, coming out very soon. So please keep an eye out for that. Go support Warn. Shout out Dan. He's coming back on the podcast very soon. But please, if you're not following From Within Records on social media, please go boot up your Twitter, your Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band, for your business, please hit up my friends over at goodfortuneprinting.com. You can hit them up on Instagram at goodfortuneprinting, or you can email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. But before we get into today's guest, it's been a minute since I've done an intro. Thank you for the amazing support for the past two episodes. Shout out to my good friend Lemus. Shout out to Richard from More to Pride. I really had so much fun doing these podcasts in person, traveling to these remote locations and doing them in person. It's something that I love doing. It's something that I'm going to continue to do, right? It's a whole new layer to what we have going on over here. We have more of those coming. I already filmed some. We got more already booked. So I appreciate everyone that is taking the time to watch them over on YouTube or on Spotify or wherever you're at. I do appreciate it. And for everyone who has noticed, there's a new logo. We have a new intro song, which is Shut Down by Blackpink. Shout out to Blackpink. They will be here in LA very soon playing Dodger Stadium, which is something pretty remarkable. No K-pop group has ever done that. And it might be it for a while. Blackpink has a weird schedule. So for everyone who's going, hope you guys have fun. It's going to be a crazy night. Dodger Stadium turns pink. But also the outro song is Party O'Clock by NMIX. It's their latest single, and I'm just floored by how amazing that group is. So I was going to wait till 400 to put all that stuff out there, but I got the new logo and had the songs for a bit, and I decided to say fuck it and just put it out now. So I'm super pumped on the artwork. Thank you for all the positive feedback. I appreciate it. It's something that we're going to be rocking with for a while. So I definitely appreciate that. I appreciate everybody who's been going to the YouTube. We have, like I said, the podcasts that we went and traveled on location. We got more of those coming. We have the KCon vlogs, right? I will ramble about KCON in these next couple of episodes because it was a very interesting experience. I hope you look forward to the KCON vlogs that will be dropping very soon. But with all that aside, we had to track down our good friend Garrett, who plays guitar in a band called Buried Dreams. It was such a pleasure for me to be able to talk to him, to hear about his story coming up in hardcore, and to hear what he's doing not only in Buried Dreams, but all the other bands that he plays in, what he's doing to prop up his local scene. And it's amazing. People like him are the reason why hardcore is going to continue to live on and hopefully inspire the next generation. That's what I love to hear, and to see people doing it, going out there and supporting it in more ways than just showing up. And I know that's great. We obviously love when people show up to shows, when they pay their hard-earned money for tickets, but I think it's even cooler when people want to do more than just show up and have fun, right? For people who want to put in the work to help keep it alive, I respect that so much. So shout out Garrett. So for anyone who's not familiar with Garrett, I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. So please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Garrett to the show. To the podcast, Garrett, how's it going?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing okay. Thank you for being down to do the podcast. I appreciate your time. So welcome.
Yeah. Heck yeah. First time.
First time. Something like this. Oh, really? You've never been on a podcast before? Oh, interesting.
Nah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on here for your first podcast. I'm sure you know, you'll remember this forever. Hopefully it's a good time.
Yeah, hopefully.
But I am curious about you, where you you know, grew up and where you're currently living.
Yeah, so I live in Framingham, Massachusetts. I've lived like all like in the same area for like since I was a kid. I think like I was born in New Haven, Connecticut, and then moved here, and I've been here since I was like a little kid. So. But yeah, it's like right in between Worcester and Boston.
Okay.
So half an hour from each, pretty central Massachusetts.
That's awesome. And for you, how did you get into hardcore?
Well, I got into like I feel like most people get into like Green Day and shit, like they hear on the radio and like stuff like that. And so I got like really into the punk rock side of things and got into Rancid. And like Jerry's Kids, like was like one of like an early like hardcore band that I didn't really know like before I knew what hardcore was. And then, and then after that, I got into like bands like Let Live and like The Chariot and stuff like that, like more metalcore side of things. And then, and then after that, it all just basically trash talk, stuff like that.
Yeah, I love trash talk. So whenever I hear people mention that band these days, I get pretty stoked because I think band is so fucking awesome.
Yeah, to be honest, like honestly, like that's probably like the like a big like one of the bigger catalysts, because like I got super into like Tyler the Creator when I was like 13, like 12, 13, like around there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did that, like they had all that shit with trash talk, and then I like that was like the first shit that I heard where someone was actually like really like screaming doing vocals like that. So I was like, holy shit, like it was sick. The stage presence and everything was beast as fuck. So
yeah, no, for sure. They always put on a good show, and I'm surprised that they don't do more. What, you know, because I'm sure there's a lot of like, you know, there's probably like a whole new generation of hardcore kids that probably are into them and haven't had a chance to see them because they've been You know, I know they've done stuff here and there, but as far as being like, you know, more active, it's like been, you know, pretty, you know, chill for a really long time. So I wish, you know, I'm surprised that they haven't done anything, you know, out here, because seeing them on some flyers, I was hoping that they would, you know, be on some shows out here. But
out here is where for you?
Oh, I'm in Southern California in Orange County. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like one of like the last shows they played wasn't like a post COVID or something like that. Like it was some show in like LA somewhere.
Yeah. Well,
maybe it was the Bay. But yeah, like I was supposed to, yeah, like I've never seen them. And like I think I had like two chances. Like I was supposed to see them at Tie Down like last year. And then I didn't end up going to Tie Down because I was like just joining kind of Buried Dreams around then.
Okay.
And then yeah, got busy with other stuff,
man. That it happens, but
yeah,
but knowing hardcore, I feel like if you stick around long enough, you know, you'll have another opportunity, because for as long as I've been around, there's been a long list of bands that I thought I would never see, but just you know, just still being involved and, you know, having bands pop back up, you know, I feel like that opportunity is still out there.
Yeah, that's like what I'm hoping for. I'm sure Trash Talk will probably do some big shit. Like one of their albums has to be like around a 10-year anniversary at this point. So
100%. Or yeah, dude, or even coming, dude. You know what's even weird thing about it? Like probably even coming up on 20 years, which is insane to think about.
Oh shit, yeah. Wow, yeah. Like when was their first shit coming out? Like 2006?
Yeah, like 2006, 2007-ish. Yeah, like around that time. So you think we're just a couple years shy from that. Yeah,
damn. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I keep hoping for that same stuff, but like whenever I realize like a record's turning like 10 or 15 or whatever years old, like, and the band doesn't play anymore, I'm like, oh shit, maybe they'll play next year or something. But
yeah, I'm going to see CDC tomorrow because they are doing a run of shows out here celebrating 20 years of being a band, and I'm like,
man, that's sick.
That trips me out because I remember you know, seeing CDC with their first time coming to California and thinking that was like such a cool thing, but here we are 20 years later and they're coming out and they're doing this run. I think it's insane because it doesn't feel like it's been 20 years since they started as a band, because that, you know, when we think about 20 years, that's such a long time. That's like more than half my life.
Yeah, I've been playing in bands for like probably like 2 years, probably on the spot is like how long I've been playing shows for.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like probably... like it feels like I've been doing this since I was like 16, but I'm 24. So like it feels like I've had like a lifetime of playing shows, but it's literally been 2 years, like a very short amount of time. Like especially like other people in the scene, like compared to me, like I'm very like new at this, I'd say.
Yeah, well, just, you know, following you on Instagram and looking at your bio, it seems like you're pretty active. There's a bunch of bands in your bio, which I think is cool. I feel like that's a good thing to be able to give back to the scene, to, you know, participate and do a bunch of bands.
Yeah. I was like, I felt like I was missing out on it for so long because I was like really like in high school I just went to a tech school, and like in school and shit, like I didn't really like find like a really like solid, like I knew I liked punk rock, like the whole scene and everything, but there was just no one around me that fucked with it either. Really, like in school, I don't remember anyone going to shows or anything like that. So I was just kind of like, whatever, just doing my thing. Just ended up like going to a tech school and learning a trade, and then just working for a little while, and then like sort of got reacquainted with it, with like people that I went to school with that I didn't end up knowing, like. We're like, oh, we both like this at the same time, but we just like never fucking talked about it or anything. But like I ended up eventually starting like my first band with my buddy Nick, Shortest Life, that band. We started that band and then did shows of that, and that was like the whole learning experience for me, just to like kind of get how that works, like just kind of like it was pretty easy because all you have to do is really just go to shows and talk to people. Like, but I was like, oh shit, it's this easy. Like, wow, like, where was this whole time?
Yeah, I feel like things like that are very attainable. People just you know, maybe don't realize that you know, starting a band, supporting the scene, and then having your band play those shows, it's not that far out of reach. You just have to put in the effort and you know, actually show up and support. And you know, you said talk to people, because yeah, trust me, there's so many times where, you know, people are just maybe afraid or just super antisocial and don't want to talk to people at shows. But I feel like if you're at your local scene, you know, you should be able to go and you try to meet some new people, see who's out there, you know, helping keep the scene going, because it's not just, you know, moving and growing on its own. There's people, you know, constantly there putting in work.
Yeah, yeah. It's like trying to fucking have just like have more shows booked. Like, I don't know, it's really thriving out here now. I feel like a lot of, like, just in the past couple of years, it's like grown like 5 times in size, I feel like. Because like, even like shows, like there's shows that I like see somebody was at, I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was happening, but there was like 40 people there. I was like, oh damn, like where'd that come from? And then but it's just always like so sick to see that it's like, all right, this is a whole another group of kids I've never seen in my life. And I'm at these shows all the time, they don't know who I am. So like not even like in a type of weird way, but it's like, oh wow, like a new person that isn't going to this and they're already this stoked about it. Like that's pretty sick. Like we just played a band that I front for called Jackal. We don't have any music out yet or anything, but we've just been playing shows. And we played with Fool's Game and Out of Pocket last night, or Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And it was it was at the Middle East, which is usually like a lot of the same, you see a lot of the same crowd. Like it's like a regulars type of spot. And then, but there was like probably 20, 25 kids that I'd like never seen at a show that looked like they were like at their first show. I was like, damn, wow, that's pretty cool.
100%. And what do you think that is? Do you think it's because there's this you know, touring band from California that's playing that night, or could it be the, you know, noise that Fool's Game has been making recently, or is it just local support for you guys and you know, people hearing about Jackal?
It's weird. There's like, you definitely see like there's like a couple people in the scene that have like siblings, and then like they've gone to shows forever, and then like they'll bring a couple of their friends, and then those kids will bring their whole group of friends, and then those kids are like regulars. And then a lot of it is also like the internet too is like crazy, like as like stigma, like, you know, it's kind of stigmatized, like in the whole like DIY like sort of punk mindset to like kind of go the internet route. Like, oh well, but it's like also at the same time, like, why wouldn't you? I don't know, don't talk about growing it, and if like when it grows and not the exact way that you found it, it's like, and it's like now you're gonna knock it, it's like you might as well just teach the kids how to do it the right way. You know, you don't have to try to sue somebody if like you get hurt or like so, anything like that. Teach like the simple sort of basics, I think.
No, I definitely agree, because you can't control like what it's gonna be, right? I feel like everybody should just put their effort in to helping it grow, welcoming in like the, you know, young generation, the next generation of kids. And you know, you obviously maybe want it to go a certain way, but it's not always going to go according to plan. And I feel like I'd much rather, you know, put the work in and have a scene that's currently active and alive, you know, even if it's not the type of bands or bands that I'm into, I'd rather have a scene that's going versus no scene at all.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I just think if there's kids at my school that like had like took the time to like, if there were kids in my school that were like had a band, I don't think there was anybody at my high school that had a band really. Mm-hmm. Besides like the teachers would like play shit sometimes. But that was, you know, brutal. But like if there was like one person passing out flyers, like I probably would have been like, yo, like what? It's like the movies, like or something like that. Like kind of just all it takes is for someone to even realize it exists. It's just kind of like, yeah, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to be, it's not too tough, you know, you can just sort of hop in and just kind of follow the lead.
100%. I feel like I got lucky when I was in high school, because that's when I discovered what hardcore was. And there was a group of, like, I was a freshman, and there was a group of seniors that were playing, like, you know, emo, metalcore type music. But they all knew about, like, that underground scene, what hardcore was. So I was able to make friends with them, and they were just as interested in me, just because they're like, who the hell is this random young kid that knows about the stuff that we're into? Like, we got to bring him in. So luckily they were all like really nice, willing to drive me out of town and take me to shows with them. Like, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have gone to a lot of shows that I went to when I was a kid. So I think it's it was such a crazy experience, because I was brand new to it, but there was this like this whole scene going on that I had no idea about, but it was all, you know, happening, you know, locally. And then even just, you know, hopping in the car with these strangers who eventually became friends, and, you know, driving 2-3 hours out west and going to places like, you know, the Inland Empire, Orange County, LA for shows, and just, you know, just tripping out, just realizing that, holy shit, like, this is like this thing that's like been active and going on for so long, and I had no idea. Now I'm a part of it. I want to do everything that I can to be a part of it and figure out and kind of play catch up and, you know, find and discover things that I've missed that, you know, was definitely here before me. And I want to kind of be in tune with what's currently going on and just, you know, see how far like my love for this will go.
Yeah. 100%. Like, I have like a little brother, and like there was like for a second when we were little that he kind of like thought the shit that I liked was cool. Mm-hmm. But then like figured out his own stuff. But now he like a couple weeks ago, he came to like the first show he's ever been to, and it was like Buried Dreams and Three Knee Deep. And then sorry, my niece just walked in.
That's all good.
Come on, buddy, excuse me. Yeah, it was Three Knee Deep and Buried Dreams played, and he brought a couple of his friends, and then they like halfway through the show that they're like, they called me and they were like, hey, like we want to act, like what are we allowed to do, like as far as like hitting and stuff. I was like basically just whatever other people are doing, you can basically pretty much do that. Mm-hmm. like usually people try to keep their distance. If you hit somebody, it's fine. Like if you get hit, it's fine. Like just keep it neutral kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like cool. That was like the first time I've ever had to run somebody through like, all right, well, if it's like a fast beat, like two step, if it's like sort of figuring that out, it's pretty cool.
And what prompted your brother wanting to go to this particular show? Because obviously you said he thought the stuff that you were into when he was younger was cool, but then kind of found his own path. How did he find his way to wanting to go to a hardcore show?
I've been kind of shoving it down his throat, like trying to get him to come to shows and stuff. Like I've like forced a couple of my, like hometown, like young friends to, come to see some shows sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he's really into anime and stuff too. And a lot of the music he listens to is like intros and anime scores and stuff. And I was like, dude, you know, like a lot of this is like really fast and like thrashy. Like it's like kind of like a lot of the shit that I listen to is like very like fast and like stuff like that. I was like, you probably like going to a show. And then he kind of was just like, all right, cool. You need something to do. Okay.
And what was the, you know, the outcome? Was he into it? Is he going to go to another one?
I think his friends liked it a little more than he did, but I don't know. You might just have to see the right band, I think.
100%. I feel like they're, you know, for someone that's, even if they're slightly interested, there has to be at least one band, you know, from whatever type of subgenre of hardcore there is. Like, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, people could get into it.
Yeah. He might just be a metal guy, but who knows? We'll see. Let's see if we can get him broken in.
And I'm curious for you, when you're getting into it, at what point do you realize that you're so close to these like legendary scenes?
That was like, like I always knew like Boston hardcore, Boston punk was like kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like being into like Jerry, or like knowing about Jerry's Kids, and like, because that was just something that I like knew, but I had no idea about anything else. But I was like, I knew Jerry's Kids was a thing. And I was like, well, they're sick. They're from Boston. That was like my only really like, and I guess like Dropkick Murphys, stuff like that. But then like sort of just in like going to like shows, like hardcore shows, we're like, oh shit. Like I've played the Middle East probably like 5 to maybe 6 or 7 times. And like every time I play it now, like I was like, holy shit, like the first time I was like, wow, playing Middle East is fucking crazy, like this is where actual bands play. And then playing it every time now, it's like, oh shit, like so many actual insane bands have played here and like play here regularly, and like this is like one of their favorite places to play. It's like definitely like a cool home base to have as far as that spot. Like even like I don't know, just having like the upstairs, the Sonya, and the downstairs, like all connected as one, just seems like a cool like trilogy of just like venue.
Yeah, 100%. I've been there a couple times. So really cool venue.
Yeah, and like you can get like a bite to eat, and there's a bunch, like there's just cool shit around there too. Like there's like a little record store. There's a vegan place across the street that bands can eat for free.
Oh really, for free?
Yeah. It's like right next door. I think it's called like Clove or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool.
They have some good stuff, some coffee and stuff.
I'm really picky these days when it comes to coffee.
Really?
Yeah, I never used to be that way. I used to not even really care about coffee, but then used to hang with these guys that you know, they were like obsessed with coffee, so they kind of like would drag me to these like fancy coffee shops around town, and it was interesting, just like, you know, trying different stuff, whatever. And then fast forward to these days, I live near a coffee shop that I go to, and I thought I was biased. I'm like, oh, like the coffee here is good. Let me bring some of my friends who actually know more about coffee than me. So yeah, Bring them in every now and then, and they would actually compliment that place really well. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, so it's not just me being biased because I like going here. It's so close to home, whatever. But then now it's just like, that's like my like standard. And I compare every place to my local spot, and to me, it's like every other place is pretty bad.
I know what you're talking about, though. Like, what's your take on Dunkin' Donuts?
Dunkin' Donuts. Well, the last time that I went, and this is obviously not, you know, going to be my experience at every Dunkin' Donuts, but I got food from there, and it was served by like a bunch of teenagers that seemed like it was like their first job, and they didn't care about shit, so they didn't make my food very good, and I was pretty pissed off.
Yeah, no Dunkin' food is ever made good, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I wonder time to time, like, what's the difference from East Coast to West Coast Dunkin'?
Well,
and
I don't know.
I feel like most of it is just pretty bad. I mean, food wise, but I like the coffee from there. I have to say, I'm biased towards that.
Towards, okay, what's your Dunkin' order? So I'll try it next time I go to a Dunkin'.
Well, if I miss breakfast, I'll grab like the snack bacon, like the, it's like covered in the, it's got like pepper flakes and
okay,
like some sort of like glaze on it. I get that, and then I get the white cheddar bagel twist.
Okay.
I'll get that toasted, and then I'll eat them together. Like, cause then it's like you got like a nice like cheesy bagel, mm-hmm. and put a little like bacon on it. It's like a nice little meal.
Yeah,
get some, together yourself.
Mm-hmm, get some nice texture.
But then coffee, I just go black with one pump of caramel.
Oh, interesting. Okay, all right. Well, I
will. I don't go cold brew. The cold brew is like it like makes some sort of like disgusting acid monster out of my stomach.
Okay, interesting.
It's brutal.
I will try that. Sounds good. I'm interested in that bacon because I've never even heard of that.
And that might be a East Coast regular thing. I don't know.
Okay. There are quite a few Dunkin' Donuts now because I remember before, if I remember correctly, the first Dunkin' popped up in Long Beach, like off of 7th Street, and that was a pretty big deal. But now you can find them pretty much everywhere out here. It's not that hard to find anymore, which is crazy because I do remember when certain chains weren't so readily available in California, but these days it's like you know, things that are nationwide are pretty much all here.
Yeah they're about as common as Starbucks now, I feel.
Starbucks, I never want to go to Starbucks. I hate Starbucks.
Nah, that's I will say that's probably the only place I could vote their food's worse than Dunkin' for sure.
Yeah,
I'd eat for like five meals. I'd eat a full day at Dunkin' before I ate like a cake pop. Nah, I can't even count. That's a lie.
The only thing that I really like getting from Starbucks, you know, I do not want to get coffee, but if I have to get anything from there, it's during the holidays they have those cranberry bliss bars. Those things are pretty good.
I'm unfamiliar. I'll have to check them out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, holidays are coming up sooner than we think, but.
Damn, yeah, they are.
Okay. Haven't even gotten into any of the bands that you're playing, but I was listening to one of your bands today, which I thought was pretty cool, and I was pretty curious about.
Yep.
Is A Life's End.
Oh, yeah. That's so my buddies in this band, Hard Target.
Okay.
They're they also played the Fool's Game show, but they're a bunch of old heads that are still playing in sick bands now. And my buddy Micah does vocals, that plays drums in Hard Target, and me, I play guitar, and Justin from Hard Target and fills in for like The World, and I think he plays for Death Before Dishonor now too, mm-hmm. second guitar. He plays guitar. Malik from Wisdom and War plays bass, and then Snooks from Wisdom and War also plays drums.
Okay.
It's like a Central Mass kind of group of people just in a band again. But yeah, it's basically just exists to be brutal mosh music.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely into it, especially the new stuff that you guys released a couple months ago.
That's the two song one you're talking about.
Yeah. Do you know what is that, like a sound bite in the first track with that guy speaking, or is that somebody from the band speaking?
I think it's a sound bite. I'm pretty sure they use all sound bites.
Okay, because I was listening to it, I'm like, God, this sounds pretty epic, but I have no idea where this is from.
Yeah, they got a bunch of deep cuts for like I said, they're old heads, so they'll like bring up a sample. I'm like, yeah, I got no idea what the fuck this is.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, how did you, you know, meet them, and you know, how did you guys all start Life's End?
So like, Hard Target and like Shortest Life played like a bunch of shows together, and like started playing shows together. Like this was all like right after COVID too. Like as soon as shows started coming back is when like I started playing shows.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then it was kind of like also like not playing in a band. I was like, all right, like COVID happened. I was like, I need something to do. Obviously joined a band and then started, kept going from there and shit. But, just met all those guys and we kept playing shows together. And Micah, the singer, I work with him like part time in a print shop he manages. So like do a bunch of merch and stuff there, and then just mostly like regular company stuff. But like, yeah, it started at that spot, and then we were just like, yeah, I'm gonna front the band. I was like, all right, sick. Well, let me know when you need a guitar player, because I'm the man to see if you need a guitar player.
That's a pretty good skill to have. And how long have you been playing the guitar?
I got my first guitar when I was like 6 or 7, I think. But I'm not even like, for somebody who's been playing that long, I should be way better than I am. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of never really took any lessons or anything. I just like self-taught off of YouTube and all that. So, and then just like doing different stuff. Like I like would put it down, pick it up, put it down, like sort of incrementally. But I've been playing very like solidly, I guess, for 5 years, I would say. Like I've been playing hardcore music for 5 years, I would say.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you, is when did you realize like, holy shit, I could use this skill for hardcore?
Yeah, as soon as I like laid my palm on the strings, that's when it all happened. Like, okay, all right, that's the trick.
That's awesome. Okay. And then as far as live sound, I know the, you know, two songs just dropped back at the end of May. Are you guys like actively working on like new stuff or trying to be more of a full-time band?
Nah, that's like strictly a side project. Like they're all focused on Hard Target, mm-hmm. and like Wisdom and War. And I'm focused on what I'm doing too. So it's strictly for like, we'll probably just continue to put out like a few songs here and there and play a few shows here and there. Like when we, you know, keep it a seasonal type of thing.
For sure. No, I'm into that, because obviously when there's a band that you like, or a band from your area that doesn't do much, you know, it's like, okay, like if they're on this bill, who knows when the next one is. Like, we definitely got to show out and go catch that set, because that's makes it a little more special when you're not playing constantly. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, that was definitely part of the design too, I think, just to have like a when it happens, like it happens sort of thing, like pull up and go stupid.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. And you mentioned me when we were talking, when we were discussing you coming on the podcast, that you've only been in Buried Dreams for, you said, about a year. Can you talk about, how you ended up joining the band?
Yeah. So it's actually like I mentioned, I was supposed to go to Tie Down last year, mm-hmm. to see Trash Talk and all that. But, so the reason I didn't go is like a couple of weeks beforehand, Austin, the singer of Buried Dreams, like he was like posted. He was like, I need a guitar. Like I need somebody who plays guitar that has like a passport. And I just like responded to it. I was like, yeah, I got a passport and I can play guitar. And then, he like sent me a bunch of playthroughs, and I started learning those songs for the, Triple B, Europe tour. They did last year. I think they're on it like right now. The Pain of Truth is on it. And mm-hmm. No Pressure. But yeah, last year it was Pain of Truth, Three Knee Deep, Buried Dreams, and Life's Question. So I ended up filling in for Three Knee Deep, because Three Knee Deep needed a guitar player, and so I learned all those songs. Did that whole thing. That was a crazy, crazy experience. Because I'd never even been like on a like tour, let alone like out of the country. Like I've only played like weekenders up to that point. Like never mm-hmm. even been on like haven't been in a van for a weekender even. But like, that's, yeah, crazy. He blessed the boys and brought us me and my buddy Lee, who runs Company Car, which is like, he does a lot of video work for like Pain of Truth, and he's done some for like Vane and Life's Question.
Okay.
But me and him filled in. He plays in Buried Dreams also, but we went on that whole run, and I guess, prove that we could hang, you know, and play the songs well enough, and then continued being in the band since then, and have done all the shows since.
So now, when you respond to this message about, you know, having a passport and, you know, playing the guitar, like, what's your relationship like with Austin? Are you just like acquaintances? Are you guys friends?
So before that, like, we just like seen each other at shows, like kept like sort of like met each other, like, yeah, just from being at the Middle East or being wherever in Boston. And then ended up, yeah, just from that, like, I didn't really know him, like, until, like, we started, like, practicing the songs a couple times. Because he ended up filling in on drums for 3 Knee Deep. And so we were practicing those songs together. And then those were, like, the first times we ever really, like, I ever, like, hung out with any of those guys. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. They're, like, they're welcoming people. So, yeah, learned the songs well enough, and they were fun to play.
And so, what were the vibes like? You're, you know, on the other side of the country, or not the country, just maybe the world, and you're, you know, going on a tour, something that you've never done before. Like, what was going through your head during that time?
I was just hoping I didn't like say anything like stupid or anything. Like, I was like, I just hope I don't bother anybody. Like. But that whole time I was just like, I have no business being here. Like, these are like the big boys. Like, cause I've only been playing shows for like a year and a half at that point. So like insane to even like think of being in a bus or like with bands that I had been continuously like listening to and seeing like play shows. But eventually, like, yeah, it was like, oh shit, all right, these are just basically like scene people are just scene people. Like, people that play shows are just people that play shows, and they're like usually pretty similar, like countrywide, I guess, because like all these people just act and talk like people I would be friends with regardless. And then it's like, oh, all right, I don't know what I'm freaking out about.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely know how that is, because meeting a lot of people and being friends with a lot of people that I used to like look up to when I was younger, right? Like listening to bands that they used to play in. And then, you know, fast forward to now, it's just like, holy shit, if I told like my younger self that I would be, you know, hanging out with certain people, like I wouldn't even believe it, which is crazy. But then, you know, like once that becomes normal, you're kind of like, oh shit, yeah, like, you know, you're just like putting people on a pedestal because they're in a band, whatever. But it's like, when you get down to it, it's just like, yeah, everybody's just, you know, people at the end of the day.
Yeah, and yeah, it usually just takes being like, hi, like getting past like saying your name and just like having a conversation takes everybody from like where you think they were to just being on like a normal level too. Like, like again, you said like how sort of like historic the Boston scene is, like now being able to just be kind of like saying what's up to like Colin of Arabia or like Brian from Death Before Dishonor, like those guys are like obvious legends. And then, but then it's like, oh, you're like, you're coming out of your way to say what's up to me. Like, that's awesome. Like, but then it's like, oh yeah, why wouldn't you? Cause like, we're all just cool scene people having fun playing shows.
100%. Yeah. Cause even though with how popular like hardcore is because of the internet, I feel like there still is like that, you know, kinship when you like meet another hardcore person, because it's, you know, for like I said, for as popular as it is, it's still pretty underground.
Yeah. And then especially like, I mean, like I came up like getting into hardcore with like all like the like 856 and like 197 and all those guys are like, and like having that aspect of like it does make it look way larger than life sort of mm-hmm. thing. Like going into wherever they do the This Is Hardcore and then seeing it on YouTube is two different things, because you're like, wow, it's really, this is the spot. Like, it seems like twice as big as it would be.
100%. That's how it was when I walked into the church in Philly for the first time.
Yeah, that place is like tiny in real life.
Because I'd seen, you know, hundreds of videos because it's sunny. And then walking in for the first time, I'm like, holy shit, this is like, it's so familiar because I've seen it so many times on video, but to actually be in the church and just kind of like, just kind of analyzing the room, I'm like, oh, this is not as big as I thought it would be. But, you know, I feel like that's the same thing. Like when people come to like the local venue down here, Chain Reaction, they're like, oh, why is it so tiny? It looks so big in videos, but it's like, yeah, it's actually pretty, pretty small.
Yeah. That's, like being into like all like the West Coast punk stuff as a kid, like going to Chain Reaction is definitely like a place I'm excited to check out in real life. And like 924 Gilman,
mm-hmm. legendary venues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like spots like that. I'm like that's like one of the most exciting parts to me is like seeing spots like that or being able to play them. Even is crazy.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that's like. Because, yeah, for me, I'm just going there to these places that are legendary. And, you know, I'm just there to watch the band. So I can't imagine what it's like to be able to perform there.
Yeah, my buddy's in this band called Catalyst. They're in, like a scrams band, like emo band.
Okay.
And they just finished a whole nationwide tour. Like, and they got to play Gilman and, like, that I like saw videos from the show, and they're popping off. Like they're an awesome band and awesome people, but like seeing them get to play there too, and like seeing other people that I'm friends with just sort of like both go through there and like, oh shit, we're at Gilman right now, like what the fuck, that's crazy. I used to check that place out in like documentaries and shit.
To do a full US tour, I think is wild and cool. I'm happy that bands are still doing it because it's not as common as it used to be.
Yeah, those dudes in Catalyst are grinders. They're like they're all like 19, 20, like super young too.
Mm.
And they're the most DIY band that I know doing it right now.
I feel like sometimes it's better that way, right? Just kind of go out and just do everything on your own, and
yeah, and
just, especially what when you're younger, right? Hopefully, you know, not a lot of responsibility. You can go out there and you know, take risks and try to make it.
Yeah, that's the Providence, Rhode Island scene is like where they're from, and that's
okay.
Like that whole scene is like extremely young and extremely DIY. It's really cool to see. You get to play shows down there pretty regularly.
Yeah. Ankle Biter is going to be down here next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. All those kids are sick.
Yeah. I'm stoked because I'm going to meet up with them like before the show and film some stuff. There's some breaking news. Yeah. I'm going to meet up with them before the show and like film some stuff like leading all the way up till they play. So it should be cool. I'm pretty stoked on the lineup and stoked to finally have them in California for the first time.
Yeah, that'll be sick. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool young bands coming from the area.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
And why do you think that is? Because I know there's some scenes where they're like, you know, suffering with the lack of new kids, and it's you know, starting to get kind of like oh shit, like we need to like start recruiting people, because if not, in a couple of years the scene's going to be pretty old and it might not last.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like being in Boston definitely helps, or being around Boston, because then it's like if your scene has a rich history, then it like there's that much more to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if like I don't know, maybe it can be like a little intimidating to like try to start something from scratch or keep something going from scratch when you really don't have like much of a history to like, you know, sort of uphold, you know what I mean?
100%. You gotta,
I could definitely see that being challenging.
Yeah. Because like, if there's nobody to like vouch for you, right? Because it's like, if you're trying to like convince some established band to come to your new scene, it's like, yeah, it's like they have like more to lose, if that makes sense. And they have to be willing to take, yeah, that chance. And sometimes people don't want to take that chance because to put the effort into traveling to go play some new scene where you know, might not be worth it. People don't want to do that. They don't want to waste their time. But I feel like when people do take those chances and it pays off, I feel like those are like where, you know, cool things and that respect and the word of mouth can, you know, start to grow. So if people are willing to take that chance and it be a good thing, I feel like that's what could really help and uplift something that's, that you're trying to start from nothing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like I started, me and my buddies have been booking shows in like Concord, New Hampshire, which mm-hmm. is like an hour and 40 minutes north of where I am. So it's kind of, it's like, it's definitely in the sticks for sure. And like, it's definitely one of those things where it's hard to, it's like close and far enough from Massachusetts and Rhode Island to add a date, you know, but also mm-hmm. there's like so many other places around it that you could just do instead. And also when there's no, like, nobody's like, New Hampshire hardcore isn't like a like widely known of thing where it's like there's all these bands popping out of New Hampshire. But like we've like the band that me and my buddies are in, Sophisticated Adult, we like rep New Hampshire really hard, and we I mean I'm not even from there, but they that they all rep it wicked hard and continue to do it sort of like the old school way, like of just doing like flyers and like word of mouth stuff like that, like go to the record store, go to the skate shops sort of thing. And that's definitely helped start like a thing that we have up there, because like we have like a small venue that we can get pretty much whenever we want. And now we have at least like 35 to like 50 kids that will show up, like regardless of who's playing, really, because like the other venue that's in New Hampshire is like nobody wants to play there. They overcharge on tickets and the mm-hmm. security sucks, so like, and the stage isn't even good. But like having a couple of small places starting to pop up is definitely helping that. Like there's like a tattoo shop that did a show not too long ago that might do more, and just like other stuff like that, getting in contact with places that are down to do an all ages Sunday show or something like that.
Yeah, I hate booking shows. I yeah. did a couple, and luckily for the most part they went well, right? Because I've heard of like horror stories, you know, promoters having to go to the ATM to, you know, get money for the guarantee, whatever.
Yeah.
Luckily I never had to do any of that, but it's a lot of work and a lot of moving you know, pieces. I think the one thing that pissed me off the most is like people always trying to get in for free. It's like, dude, there's touring bands. Yeah. People got to get paid. Like don't want to charge people, but I have to, because this is you know, obviously
the way it works.
Yeah, like this is like what it is. But then just getting into like the like politics and like we just shit that people wouldn't even like think about, you know, having to deal with when it comes to doing a show. It's just like it didn't become like too much for me. Like I could handle it, but I was just already doing enough, like you know, with like doing the podcast, and you know, now I'm doing stuff for you know, like the vlog type stuff and just all the other things that I have going on in my life. It's like, you know, I don't want to deal with this, so I'm just going to take a step back, and hopefully somebody will have been inspired or maybe have been wanting to book shows out here in Orange County. Hopefully somebody will step up and just fill that void, because it's like it got to a point where I was just like, this is not what I want to do anymore.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, like with like sort of starting the whole show booking thing, can definitely be, because like trying to book too much stuff at once, like can immediately just make you want to be like, all right, fuck this. Like I have to take like 2 days off from even thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
It is so stressful. But then I don't know, sometimes a lot of it is just like I'm just sending the things you need to send and asking what you need to ask. And then, I don't know, pulling up to the place for a response, like whether it is with venues or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely I can see why people don't do it after starting to do it, like, or see why people stop doing it, like. But at the same time, somebody's got to do it.
100%. That's why after having gone through it like numerous times, I respect people who book shows way more, right? Because I already respected them because I knew, you know, I knew very little at how much they had to deal with, but having been in the fire and dealing with like so much shit, I'm like, wow, that's insane, right? So I appreciate and respect people who book shows way more than I did before.
Yeah, like the whole reason I started booking shows was just because like I wanted to book shows that I wanted to see more.
Mm-hmm.
Like oh, well, why don't these bands play together more, or like why hasn't nobody put this show on yet? Like, and it's like, oh, well, I'll just do it.
And yeah.
And I feel like some people can get discouraged feeling like there's some sort of like a competitive aspect to it. It's like that was like sort of the thing that I was like worried about. Like I was like, oh, I hope nobody thinks I'm like I don't know, like booking a show like in spite of them. But then I'm like, oh, I'm probably just crazy and overthinking it. But I've definitely like talked to other people that are like can see that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I don't know, that's just part of being in a place where very like prevalent, like, because we have like I'd say like five, like in Massachusetts, like five sort of pages that you can go to look at to see what shows are going on, or five people or five groups or collectives that book shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all really good and all have like their own style, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's really cool because yeah, sometimes people can get caught up in that like you know, famine mentality where they think there's not like enough to go around. It's like, dude, there's so yeah. many bands,
so many kids now too, like,
yeah,
where it's like you don't have, like, you can take the risk to, you know, book the new band, you know.
100%. And yeah. And I think it's cool when you can give a new band a shot, right? Because sometimes you'll see some lineups and you're like, wow, this is not too different from like the last lineup. But when yeah. you look at you know, another lineup where the bunch of bands that you're either not familiar with or you haven't seen, like, you know, playing too often, like I feel like that would intrigue me more than a lineup that I've seen so many times over in succession. So I think it's cool when people who book shows, fest, whatever, take chances and will put on a band that's not as established just to give them that shine and give them that look to be like, all right, cool, here, we're going to put you on a show where you're going to be in front of a decent crowd and, you know, maybe you'll, you know, catch on, or maybe not. People, you know, finally get that opportunity to see you live and realize that you guys aren't that good.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it is as simple as that, just needing better music.
100%. And when you're talking about you booking these shows, is this all through the Bytecore?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's all me and my buddies.
Okay.
And Sophisticated Adult that do that.
And how many shows have you guys booked so far?
We have three right now. Mm-hmm. That are booked. Three that are booked, two that are announced.
Okay, that's awesome. And obviously, this is this something newer that you're doing?
Yeah, like I'd been booking shows for a little bit, and then I was like, all right, well, I kind of want to, like, kind of strictly for like the New Hampshire thing. Like, I feel like maybe if there's like a page, or like kind of something to centralize, like at least from that area, then maybe it might help it grow and help. Like help more people start bands, help more people find shows and stuff like that.
100%. And if you're talking about how you already have a consistent, you know, group of kids rolling out to the shows, I think that's really awesome, because they're probably kids who are dying to have something in their local area. So for you guys to be able to you'll be doing this and giving them that outlet. I think that's really awesome, and hopefully it'll draw more people, and hopefully you know, it'll spread word of mouth, and kids will start traveling from these, like, you know, closer scenes to go out to those and see what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. There's like a lot of kids that still do it like old school. So like a lot of kids that just like listen to a band with their friends at the skate park, and then like let's go see this band play. They're playing half an hour away or an hour away. And that's and then to hear that on the other end, be like, yo, me and my friends listen to you at the skate park. Like, that shit's cool.
100%. Yeah, because I feel like once you like create something and it's like on the internet, you just really don't know where it's going to end up.
Yeah, yeah. And wherever it ends up is, I don't know. It can end up in the fucking trash or absolutely like, no listens or whatever, but it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like even like bands that I just am not into, it's like there's somebody out there that thinks this is the greatest thing ever created. So
yeah, I've listened to bands where I've been like, I'm definitely the only person that thinks that this is the best thing ever created. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the band The Chariot, I'm like a huge fan of. And that's like another band that I like try to talk to people about, and they're like, I don't know, dude, like move on, like different band. Let's talk about Madball.
Which is crazy, because they're bands today that aren't too far off sonically, like from The Chariot, that people just love. But I don't know if it's like there's like this weird stigma, you know, with The Chariot, but it's like, I don't know if people are actually like listening to them and not liking them because of how they sound. I think they just might see the name and have like this weird perception of them
associated with like the Warped Tour scenes.
100%. Yes,
that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, but they're crazy.
It makes that's like, it makes sense why I like it though, because it's kind of where I like where I came from, I guess.
Uh-huh. But I don't think they're a bad band. I saw them a couple times live, and
they're sick.
Yeah, they're fucking crazy live.
Yeah, like those guys and like All Else Failed are like my two like heavy music like S tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's like this chaotic to like creativity and like heaviness all together is what gets me going.
Yeah, and I always feel like their shows are like an experience, right? Because it's so wild, and for them to be able to play all that stuff live and it just always be crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, yeah, more than just a set for sure. That's a band that I've been hoping that fucking please do a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that would be insane. I would take a ticket to absolutely anywhere to see that band play.
I was gonna say, I feel like they would be like a band that would be on like a Furnace Fest lineup, right? Because if you look,
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, when you look at that lineup, that's like where like I would expect them to be, because they get like that whole like time period.
Yeah, Norma Jean, Memphis Mayfire sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. Yeah, I was curious because obviously like you have the big banner behind you, so
yeah,
I wasn't sure if that was decoration or if you're like an actual like big time fan.
Nah, I got the vinyl too. I got I'm big. The only thing I don't have is a shirt, really.
Oh, interesting.
That's like my missing link. I need to find a Chariot shirt.
Okay. Well, I can't imagine it would be too hard to find, but I feel like they're a band that they have like a web store.
I mean, yeah, I guess they do have like a web store, like whatever, like the super like mainstream like rockermerch.com or like whatever. Like,
oh my
they definitely
God.
Have like some. I think that they have like a shirt with like a skull on it that's just like, I'm not gonna buy this one. Like, I need an actual piece of old school merch.
Yeah, I get that. You know what's crazy is I used to shop on those types of websites, right? Like buy like I would do like a big order of like band t-shirts. And I would even order shirts from bands that I know I'd be seeing like the following week, but I just, for some reason, I don't know, I would just do that. But it's been years since I've ordered from like a website like that to like for merch, like seriously, like 90% of like these shirts back here are all from shows.
Yeah. I have like only like a few like actual shirts that I care about because I definitely can't get them again.
So. Yeah. You know, at one point in time, I cared about every single one of these shirts. Like, this is it. Like, I got to take, you know, great care of it. But it's just like, I keep buying t-shirts and I'm like, this is the greatest design ever. Yeah. But I'm like, no, I've said that about every shirt that hangs in my closet. It's not the greatest design ever. It's just something that I really like right now.
Yeah. It's like, I've said that about the shirt that I have that's been brand new for a year.
Yeah. No, there's literally shirts like hanging over here that I have not worn because I'm like I can't you know waste like its life cycle because like once I put it on it's there's only a certain amount of times I can wear it before it like gets too old or whatever, but it's just like at this point I'm like they're just t-shirts and like you know like I've worked in a for like a merch company so you know how it is like when you see the blanks you're like, oh, this is what a shirt is before it you know becomes like the cool thing. This is just like everything else.
And it's like also it's like, oh, I can just get somebody who's good at art to redesign this and I can just make as many as I want.
Yeah, I made some Stop and Think bootlegs like a while back because I wanted to buy an OG one, but you know they're trying to charge me like $110 and I was like, I do not want to pay that much for a shirt, especially when I know I could just get a bunch made for about that price. So I remember I made like I think I probably made like 15 and I like just mailed them to friends who I knew really liked them. And then like I was down to like the last t-shirt that I would wear like, you know, every now and then. But then I had a friend who like saw it. He's just like, oh, like, can I have that? And I was like, yeah, I'll send it to you. I don't fucking care. Like I've worn it like a bunch of times.
I got that way with like Depop for a while where I was just kind of like, I was like almost like finding new music through Depop because I was like, oh, I've never heard of this fucking band. I was like, that is a sick ass shirt though that I'm gonna buy because it's $12.
Yeah,
and then
I got this. You can kind of see this Twitching Tongues football jersey. I got that off Depop for like I think I got like I think I paid like $60 for it, which I think was fair. Like I don't know what retail was, but I just really wanted that jersey.
Yeah, that was a. That's sick. I have like one jersey. It's like a Dog Breath jersey. It's a New York punk band.
Yeah, like this little like section is like kind of like all sports stuff. Like there's like I have like a Halsey baseball jersey, a Division of Mind rugby jersey, Twitching Tongues football jersey, Code Orange basketball jersey, and I think there might be one more. I can't remember.
Yeah. Jerseys are fucking expensive.
Yeah, no, for sure.
My buddy Pat, who plays drums in Buried Dreams and Sophisticated Adult, has he's got a insane like Elton John baseball jersey that he got like on like one of his last tour that he just did, and it's pretty fucking insane. It looks like he paid like $1 million for it, but probably like $60.
Merch is insane. Like I always like to, you know, think I'm like, all right, I'm gonna save these shirts because in 20 years like they're gonna be worth a lot, but I just honestly like I end up giving away so much merch. I can't even remember the last time I sold merch to somebody. I always just end up giving away. Yeah. I don't fucking care.
I'll do like I just sometimes I'll do like a $5 t-shirt bucket or $5 t-shirt bin, or something, just take like clear out a bunch of shit and then just throw it in front of the merch table. And then I did that, and like there's like old ladies that was like, oh, my son will love this. It's like, all right, yeah, grab it, $5.
That's funny. Yeah, maybe I should do that. Just go.
It's like it's an easy be like, all right, well, at least I can like leave this show with like $50 maybe.
Yeah.
Instead of or donate it. All my knocked loose merch, I think I'm just gonna keep for 50 years when they're like inducted in the Hardcore Hall of Fame, whenever that happens.
Yo, I have this OG design that was given to me by a friend. I was trying to just give it to somebody, but nobody wants it.
I'd hold on to the Noctilus stuff. I have a feel like that might be big money in the future.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see, I'm excited to hear their next record, because they're so big now. I'm just like, how much bigger can they get? Because like seeing videos of their performance at Coachella was insane, and they're such a huge band. So I think it's really cool that they're able to do that, right? To start this band, and then just for being a hardcore band to get as big as they are right now, I think it's really awesome.
Yeah, that was Noxus was another band that I was like, oh wow, like this, like, because I was going to whatever that year that they played Warped Tour, like that was another thing that kind of got me into the this is a fucking riff, like, wow. Drop A, you say?
Yeah, the first time I saw Knock Loose was at Warped Tour. I was working Warped Tour. I was selling merch for this band called Falling in Reverse. Yeah. And it was me and my buddy Danny. It was insane. Like, they're such a big band. They got like this they got like two tents, right? For I don't know why they got two tents, because we only needed one. So like the one tent was for the merch, and the second tent was just for like all of our friends to come hang out with us because we were so bored. But I remember I told my buddy Danny, I was like, I'm gonna go watch Neck Deep, and then I'm gonna go watch Knock Loose, and then I'm gonna come back, and then just that's it. You can do whatever you want for the rest of the day. These are like the bands that I just want to see today. And he's super cool, so that was the vibe. I saw Neck Deep, and then I went over to Knock Loose and I watched their set. I'm like, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah, that was like a sick year. Hatebreed played that year too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah, seeing like Knock Loose, A Case You Strain, and Hatebreed that year was another thing that like really like pushed me 100% into like heavy music.
Yeah, and I always appreciate when bands like that will cross over, not even really cross over, but just to do something like a Warped Tour, because I know like a lot of people like would like look down upon that and think it's kind of corny or whack, but I feel like it's a really good thing, because they probably will be an introduction for a lot of kids that might not even known or even knew that kind of stuff existed.
Yeah, that's like definitely another part that sets hardcore outside of like, I'd say, the music world. Like, because I got into hardcore as like a music fan,
mm-hmm.
and then I like became like a hardcore kid, after, whatever, being in it for, I mean, that sounds extremely corny, but you know what I mean? Like, sort of like being like knowing about the scene and like knowing all that stuff. And then, but yeah, like there's definitely like a bridge, like a gap there, like for sure, from just like, all right, now you're like ready for all this stuff. Like kind of got to go through the motions for a while.
Yeah. But
then once you find it, it's like, oh, word, found it, got here.
And you kind of realize too that it's not so strange, because I remember I went to my first Warped Tour because Throwdown was playing Warped Tour, and I was like, what? Throwdown is playing Warped Tour with a bunch of like pop punk bands that I never even would have thought would be on the same bill, because at the time that was like Warped Tour 2005, so I was like, this is crazy, like I didn't even know this could happen. Because like at that time, the only fest that I really knew of was watching like Hellfest, like DVDs. So like that's all like I really knew about. So like going to Warped Tour, and I'll never forget seeing I think they played like out of like it wasn't even like a real stage. It was like a stage from like, it was like a fold out truck, and they were playing on like the asphalt. So I was like, this is insane. Like, we're moshing like basically in a parking lot. This is wild.
Yeah, the truck stage. I remember always. Always seeing the truck stage. Can't remember what are they. Wasn't that like the Ernie Ball stage?
I can't remember, because I remember because they played 2 years when I was like still like probably like a teenager. So I remember 1 year it was definitely a Monster Energy, and then maybe the second year was, or maybe the other year was Ernie Ball.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm. But it's
now I'm like getting all the I'm getting like crazy flashbacks of like different themed wristbands and all this Warped Tour shit in my head now.
Dude, and I would not want to do that now, like going out and like waiting to, you know, to try to get as close as possible to the stage and
just
being in a sea of people, a bunch of random people touching you, pushed up against you. I'm not really into that these days.
Yeah, no way. I pay more than like $25 for a ticket now. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, or like, yeah, I don't know. Anywhere that's like basically not like a VFW, I'm kind of like all set. With unless it's the Middle East or VFW, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's strange. Strange when I'm like having to go to Ticketmaster to buy a ticket for a hardcore show. I'm like scratching my head. I'm like, is this even hardcore?
Yeah.
I don't know. Very controversial topic. I know people getting their feelings when I bring that up, but
I know what you mean though. It especially like being from the point where you're like in charge of a whole show, then like going to like a Live Nation show, you're just like, all right, like what's taking so long? Like go.
Yeah.
It starts.
It is weird because you know, like being the person who's like in charge of running the show, it's like, all right, like we gotta you know, try to keep things going in a timely manner. And then when I go to shows, I'm like, how is this starting like 2 to 3 hours late? This is insane. Like there's times where like I've gone to shows where like the show it's like 2 hours past like the first band supposed to play, like from like the flyer or whatever sometimes they posted. It's like I'm fucking going home. Yeah. I do not want to be out this late. Which is
And then they're making all the fucking money, right? Like what?
Strange.
Book Turnstile. It was Star Hunt time.
Good old Turnstile. That band is insane too, right? They're one of those bands that have gotten so huge, right? I don't know if that Blink 182 tour is still going on, but yeah, for them to be on such a huge tour.
That was insane. Like that, like they played the same one of the spots I saw, like Green Day, for like the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were playing like that same arena, and I was like, wow, that was crazy. Like the first time I saw Turnstile was in I think they were like opening for like The Story So Far.
Mm-hmm.
Like a couple shows like in like 2018 or something.
Yeah, I was tripping out when I'm in like this arena right out here. It's called the BMO arena, and I'm like in this venue to see this K-pop group, but there's like all these ads for Blink 182 and Turnstile, and I'm asking people like, do you know what Turnstile is? And obviously nobody knows what fucking Turnstile is. We're at a K-pop concert, but I'm just tripping out that I'm like, holy shit, I'm here for K-pop, and like in a few weeks, like Turnstile, this like hardcore band that is from like Baltimore, is going to be here playing this giant arena. This is insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy stuff.
Yeah, but happy for them too, because they're a hardworking band. Music's awesome, so I think it's cool that they're kind of like this, like another example that there's really no ceiling to what a hardcore band can do.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely like for bands like Turnstile and Knocked Loose, like it's definitely, I feel like, achievement, like when you eventually make just hardcore community mad just for being like big.
You're so big. Yeah.
Like you like in like one night can turn like just a bunch of hardcore dudes into shitting on you with the same meme on Facebook.
Yeah. It's insane, right? Cause there's like this fine line where like, it's like, how big do you want to get? Cause there's a certain threshold for as big as you can get before the scene will start to look at you a little different, which is weird. Like I get it, like why people would be upset, because like, oh, it's like, you know, they're bringing in all these like, you know, like people who don't even like hardcore. But it's just like, who knows, maybe they don't know about hardcore, so how can they like it? Maybe this is going to be you know, what kind of puts them on to hardcore. But if
it's
not,
like it's kind of like when like Bring Me the Horizon put out like a that whole pop album like a few years ago.
Okay.
And like I thought it was kind of good, just because I kind of like fucking I'll listen to it, like, you know, obviously more than just metal and hardcore. But I was just like, oh, I'm like, well, if you just, like, I was like, I can see getting pissed going into the, like, oh, new Bring Me the Horizon, like, and then turning it on and being like, this fucking sucks. And like, they sold out and they're just a radio band. But then like turning it on and being like, all right, so these group of dudes that have been playing fucking metal for like 16, whatever years, like, and they did it smart too, because they were just like, I don't know, like, yeah, we're a band, but like, we kind of have been like the biggest metal band, so we're just kind of doing just music now and like whatever comes to. And then like since then, like, I don't listen to them like all the time, but like listening to some songs like here and there, and then it's like, oh wow, like this song's actually like heavy as fuck, and like it's new too. So like it's kind of cool that like eventually a band just kind of takes like the, I don't know, almost like the bigger person position on like their a lot of their fans. And it's like, well, we're a band, so if we want to keep doing what we're doing and pay the bills, then like for some reason this makes us pay the bills. Like people just wanting people to be creative, like once you get the name, you got the name.
Yeah,
you don't have to be forced to make the same thing, I don't think, like,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people do the same thing anyways. Like people will like break up a band and then just start a new band with the same people that is a different genre, and like that's fine. But it's like, you can't just be like, all right guys, like we're gonna be a different band now. You can still listen to all the other music and we'll still play it live, but we're gonna make more different music.
Yeah, fans are so fickle, right? They want you to, you know, make their favorite album time and time again, but then when you do that, they get pissed because they're like, oh, this is just like the last album.
Not new.
Yeah. But then when you try to you know, branch out and try a new sound, they'll, if they're not into it, they'll shit on you and try to you know, rewrite history. But I can respect a band like, you know, Bring Me the Horizon, who, you know, like it's not easy to be that popular and relevant for so long. But you know, shout out to their fans for you know, enabling them to be able to take those kinds of chances and still be relevant. Because I don't know if you've heard, they have a feature on the new Lil Uzi Vert record.
Oh, what?
Yeah, which is insane, because when I listen to that song, crazy. Yeah, when I listen to that song, it sounds like it's Bring Me the Horizon featuring Lil Uzi Vert, not Lil Uzi Vert featuring Bring Me the Horizon. It's pretty interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. That's like, I mean, like, I guess I am like a whatever fake fan, because I just like kind of stopped listening when they put out like different kind of stuff. But I don't know. I like, at least like, or you know, can see and respect it. Pretty cool. But
that's how I am with Fall Out Boy, right? Like I love the first two like Fall Out Boy records, and after that I just very uninterested in their music. But anytime they do anything new, I'm like, all right, maybe this is it, maybe this will be the record that I'll get back into. But it's like every time, to me, it's fucking dog shit. They just did a cover song. I can't remember who they covered, but they just put out like a new cover song the other day. I'm like, all right, there's no way this is gonna be a bad cover. And then like they're singing about like Twilight and some bullshit. I'm like, this is fucking terrible. So I cut it out like halfway through. But
yeah,
you know,
yeah, like you like, yeah, same with like Green Day is like my favorite band like of all time, I would say.
Okay.
And like the music that they've put out recently is just like the corniest like bullshit. Is like, it's all just like a clap beat, and it's just like, dude, like turn it, like set, like, but it's like also like, you're making millions of dollars, why the fuck would I tell you to stop? Like, you're obviously not putting in that much effort, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But also it's like
obviously I'd play the game too if I was there, but
yeah.
Like sometimes you just gotta listen to what you like. You don't have to fucking listen to new shit. Yeah, I tell myself that all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Catch myself hating.
Yeah, it's like I'm not a fan of the newer stuff, but the old stuff, classics, right? You can't argue with the classics.
No. Can't.
Yeah, like I always tell my buddy, because he's seen the Rolling Stones live, and I'm like, dude, I just want to hear Goathead Soup live, and then I could be good. But
oh, like recently?
Yeah, I can't remember when he saw them, but like more, yeah, pretty recent. But for me, I've never seen them. I just got into the Rolling Stones probably like, you know, a couple of years ago. So I was just like, damn it. Like, I at this point, I don't think I'm ever going to see them. But it's like, I would kill to be able to hear like a very specific era of the Rolling Stones live.
Yeah. They'll probably, I don't know. Maybe they'll drop some cool VR shit soon where you can like have like a full experience from like Woodstock 99 or something.
I'm waiting for time travel.
Yeah.
That's going to be it, right? Time travel. I got a couple dates that I got to travel to when that shit goes public. I'm still alive when it happens.
Yeah, final chariot show for me. I'll be there.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, which show? What would be like the show that you would travel to?
The show, fuck. Like throughout history, past, present.
Yeah. Throughout history, for sure.
I'm trying to think, past. There's a lot of shows. What bands have I seen? Haven't I seen?
Even if it wasn't even like a good, I might have to change my answer. I don't even know if I even gave an answer. Oh yeah, I did. I don't know. I think honestly, I don't know. I might have to change it to just like some like show where like some funny shit happened.
Yeah, for me, there's like a very specific time I chose going to Anime Expo over going to Carry On's last show, thinking every band gets back together. And it's been so long. They've never played a show again. I've never seen Righteous Jams. I feel like I could die happy if I could see Righteous Jams. I had one opportunity. They were on tour in 2006. They played the Showcase Theater in Corona with they were on tour with Donnybrook because Donnybrook was touring off Lions in this game, and Righteous Jams was on the tour, and I was too scared to call off work, and my friends went. So I have friends that have seen them, like, you know, in other parts of the country, but I have friends who were at that show, and I didn't fucking go because I was a fucking little pussy. I was like 16 or maybe 17, and I was too scared to call off of work.
Yeah, dude, that's something I had to 100% leave in my past. It's a hump everyone gets over, the calling out of work. But also just being so broke where you're like, I literally won't afford calling out of this day.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was young and I was just so, it was my first job and I wanted to make like a good impression. I wanted to be a good employee, not realizing, at the time that these corporations don't care about their employees. Yeah, fuck no. 100%. Yeah. If I could go back in time, fuck that job. I'm not even there anymore. I would have much rather gone to see Righteous Jams, because obviously now it's like, you know, I've like tried to get the singer on the podcast. Like, you know, I've bugged so many circles of friends where I've been so annoying about it and trying to figure out if they would ever do a reunion, and it seems like a dead end.
Yeah, it's how it happens. I'm hoping All Else Failed plays again, because that's something I'll have to take advantage of if it happens. Like, I think the one, the most brutal show, like, to miss was the Have Heart reunion in the outdoor one at the Worcester Palladium.
Oh, okay.
It was like 2 years ago to, like, the day, like, yesterday or something.
Seeing videos and pictures of that, I could not believe how many people were there. I'm like, this is fucking insane.
Yeah, that was, like, the biggest hardcore show in history. Or, like, I guess, well, probably, unless you're counting fests and shit, but it was, like, yeah, like, 9,500 people in the fucking parking lot for Have Heart. That was, like, also, like, right when I first got into, like, Have Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, like, at my peak, like, interest, like, obsession with Have Heart. And then, yeah, like, going to get tickets, just, like, sold out in front of my eyes. It was like brutal day.
Oh, so tried to... you didn't go?
No, no.
Oh, yeah, shit.
I literally like at the buzzer, like, because yeah. I was gonna get them like the day before, and I was waiting for a check to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, like I was like, of course.
Damn.
Yeah.
I was at the Sand and Fury that year.
Oh yeah, like that. That was one of the sets that I had to watch multiple times because I just missed all the serotonin from the real one.
That's wild. Good old Havard. What a band. I feel like they did so many things right. I feel like not a bad record. They fucking toured the world. So positive.
Yeah. I like... that's like one of the bands where I'm like, I can't believe I play like in the same scene that they do. Like, that's definitely one of the big bands that's like, holy shit. Like, Pat still pops out to shows like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like randomly, so it'll be it's cool seeing him. Like, I mean, I get, you know, it's to be expected, like as like a hardcore person, but like from a fan's perspective, it's always cool to see like the older dudes like just coming to shows they're not playing anyways.
Yeah, I remember geeking out when some members of Terror popped up at like one of my shows. I was like, I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, oh, some of our friends are playing. I'm like, oh, welcome. Thank you. This is insane. Yeah.
That's the craziest part about being in Buried Dreams. Cause like Austin's friends with like everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like we were playing like the after show at Tied Down Fest and I was just, like, I'm like playing guitar and then like doing like, the side vocals and shit. And like Martin is like right fucking behind me. I'm like, all right, well, this is a weird place to be for me. Like, even though it's fucking nobody else is thinking about it, but like me, I'm like, wow, this is weird.
Like, that's the singer of Like It or Not.
Like, that's like the goat of doing side vocals and playing guitar. Like,
yeah, he's awesome. He's super talented. I'm a fan of everything that he does.
Yeah, he's awesome. We were gonna like cover a Donnybrook song, like one of the Terror shows that Buried Dreams played in Massachusetts, but yeah, we never ended up playing it. I don't know why I thought we did. Wish we did.
That'd be sick. That's a band too that they'll pop up every now and then. It's like, all right, like you gotta appreciate these sets because they don't happen that often.
Take your chance, yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen Donnybrook so many times through the years, but it's like as it like kind of slowed down, I'm like, all right, I gotta appreciate their sets even more now.
Yeah, that's how I feel about I don't know how into like Oi or the Oi scene you're in, but like Yellow Stitches, like this shirt,
mm-hmm.
It's like hometown Manchester, New Hampshire band that like all my homies and Sophisticated Adult, because like those are all New Hampshire heads, so it's like childhood, like it's like awesome music, and it's just like just about like, I don't know, doing hardcore people stuff and just being degenerates kind of, but it's like a good it's like a good feeling set to see. It's like almost like Havard in a way, like of like the just sort of like connection that everyone has.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like kind of just all talking about like just drinking beer and being fucked up. But it's like that's like another band where it's like, all right, their last show could be any show that they play, so fucking get to them.
Yeah, I'm not like super well versed in that, but I have friends who are like really into that kind of stuff. So whenever I see them post those types of bands, I'm like, all right, let me go check this out. And it's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely the that's like the first side of, I guess, punk and hardcore that I got into is like the whole sort of Oi punk stuff.
And it's cool that it's still around doing very well. There's a bunch of good bands out in like Syracuse. There's some cool bands out here doing that style, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, Violent Way is from Syracuse.
Right? Yeah, shout out Violent Way.
Yeah, great band. Those guys are sick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of like that's another thing that's popping up, but more oi bands and stuff in the whole Massachusetts area, which I think is sick because it's very. I feel like every band in Boston has sort of like appreciation or like gives a nod to like oi and skinhead shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think. My buddy, I'm sure you know him, Keith Freeman. He put out this like demo. He was doing an oi band, but I can't remember the fucking name. I'll have to look that up and send it to you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think. I do know a couple Keiths, but I don't know either of their last names.
He plays bass in Restraining Order.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I know
Keith. Yeah. Everybody knows Keith. Like when I first became friends with Keith, it was like through like this group chat. So it's like I knew him through there. But then, you know, traveling across the country and finding out that literally he knows everybody. It's insane. He's a great guy. Yeah. Yeah. Love Keith.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have to check out what his side projects are. Yeah, but like you might know this band Hate Still Burns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're like they put out on Days, but those kids are like super young and they're good homies with me and my friends, and we're all like those kids have like a huge like respect to like old school punk and oi and hardcore. Like those are like the most like Boston kids that I know, like from Boston, or not, they're like from outside of Boston, like everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those kids are awesome. And I'm trying to think of what other bands, like this band Impulse Control is a new band, and they have a lot of that. This band Klaxon is from Providence, but they're like a oi band.
Mm-hmm.
Some cool oi bands coming up.
Oh yeah, I gotta get more versed in that type of music.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. It's good, good barbecue music. Summertime vibes.
Yo, I'm not sure what the weather's like out there right now, but out here today, it's like one of those perfect days where I'm like, okay, we're in summer, but it's just like a nice cool breeze. It's like 72 degrees outside. It is
fucking disgusting here.
Really?
It's like, yeah, it's like probably like 89 and humid today. It's been that way all week.
That sounds pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's like I figured it would be like brutal in California, but it's like like people are really spot on when they're like, yeah, it's pretty much perfect weather all the time.
Those days are coming, right? End of summer, like I feel like end of summer it gets pretty bad, like. Where I grew up, like right now it's like always like triple digits. It's like 110.
Yeah I guess like it like changes drastically like with like the valleys and shit too, right?
Yeah because right now, like, you know, I'm like we're considered like a beach city, right? Because the beach is like, yeah, you know, 20 minutes like in that direction. But where I grew up, it's like a desert, so it's super fucking hot out there.
Yeah it's pretty fucking brutal in Massachusetts. Like all seasons are pretty brutal. I guess the fall is like the nicest season just because like it's the least, there's like the least fucking, what do you call it? Like problems.
Okay.
I guess. Like everybody has a problem driving in the winter. And then
damn snow and black ice and all that.
Yeah. Like your car gets fucked like way faster with all like the changing in temperature. The car I have now is like the only car that I've had with like a working AC, like 100%. But it's like a first right now. Very nice. But like my room that I'm in right now doesn't have AC. That's why I needed this fan on to save my life.
Keep you from melting.
Yeah. It's brutal.
Okay.
Unfortunately, this house that I'm in is like all like 70s architecture too. Like the windows are really old and like they all like,
yep,
but like that.
That was so like I a crank.
Can't just put in like a window unit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
gets tough.
Last thing before we go, I'm just curious, you know, Barry Dreams, is there going to be any new music coming soon? Because I heard that feature with that band Power of Fear. Do you guys have any plans to do any new recordings? Anything you can speak about?
Yeah, we got two new songs coming out through Days, and we're getting them fucking probably out by sometime in the fall.
Okay, that's great news.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Like, I have, it'll be nice having those songs out, and like, I don't know, having something that I've like worked on too will be definitely really cool, because like have the Nine Reasons Not to Live record that, and that now I play it. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's pretty sick.
And these two songs, are they going to lead into like an EP or a LP?
We'll probably do another LP afterwards. But yeah, it's just going to be two new songs for right now. And yeah, more shows. And as far as that, I'd say if you want any Buried Dreams merch, go to friendsfamilyforever.com. It's a new, where we have all our merch through, and other projects like CMI and stuff like that. Collective sort of thing. You can get your merch through there. I think is the only place you can really buy Buried Dreams merch besides Brass City Printing.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, Sophisticated Adult is putting out a new album at the end of the year, fall time too. And yeah, that's about all I'm working on right now. And then the band that I front, Jackal, is putting out a demo or 5-song EP at the end of summer. So anything, I think that's about it for all I have.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that Jackal EP. I'll let me, you know, help push that. And I just want to say thank you for your time today. Definitely appreciate it. I'm a fan of what you do, and I'm, you know, happy that there's somebody out there, you know, like yourself, who's, you know, working so hard with all these bands, helping, you know, keep the scene alive, and also you taking that role and, you know, booking shows, because that's not an easy thing to do. So I appreciate you, and thank you for your time today.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you reaching out and giving some of the little guys some exposure.
No problem. Thank you again, Garrett. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.